Hello and welcome to the Way Back When podcast.
Hi.
The revival, the return.
The complete revival.
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah.
And a lot has changed. You can see us now. Hello. Mm-hmm. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see us. If you're listening on Spotify, you can't see us, unfortunately. But go over to our YouTube and check us out.
Yeah.
And you can see our wonderful faces.
Yes.
And we'll definitely have like visuals like throughout the episode. But yeah, we're back.
Yay.
After many years.
Like 3 years?
Three, 4 years. Mm-hmm. 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 years.
I was 15.
And I was 16.
And now I'm 19.
And I am 20.
Yay.
So yeah, a lot's changed. We've moved forward in life. Changed for the better, the
not necessarily upwards,
but moved in a direction of some kind.
Yeah, like we didn't go down.
Yeah, I don't think.
No,
you know.
Should we introduce ourselves again?
We should. So, she's Maria.
Yep. And she's Hannah.
Yeah. And we are the Way Back When podcast.
Yay.
So tell us about yourself, Maria. Who are you? I've never met you before.
No, we've never met. So I'm obviously 19, and we said. I am doing ancient history, bachelor's undergraduate.
Bachelor's with honours? That's what mine is.
Yes, bachelor with honours, undergraduate degree in ancient history. First year, because I took a gap year.
She was lazy for a year.
I worked.
Just slept.
Very hard.
At Tesco's.
Yes, I only worked at Tesco's for like 2 months. At Christmas time, would not recommend.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been doing ancient history. I'm really enjoying it, as you'll be able to tell.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about you?
Well, I moved away.
You did.
I moved very far away.
Very far.
In case you can't tell, so we are in Maria's childhood bedroom.
My bedroom.
Yeah.
As you can tell, the background, it's a work in progress.
It is. But also, the first two episodes we are filming today.
Yes.
We will be filming the Anne Boleyn one
next.
But we are in person because it is the Christmas break. You are hopefully seeing this on the 1st of January 2025.
Hopefully.
If I edit it in time.
Yeah.
And yeah, but by that point I will have moved back home.
Back up north.
Back up the north. Yeah, I am in the north at the moment studying costume design.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird because I think the last time I did this, I was a film student.
Yeah, we were doing our GCSEs.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
it feels so long
that's
ago.
That's such a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, this is A levels ago.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Honestly, it's mad. And yeah, so our future episodes, we will be side
separate.
By side in little boxes.
We will be here in
spirit.
In spirit.
Yeah, our little cozy corner. With our Diet Cokes.
Yes.
And my laptop that wants to
not
take
sponsored.
Flight. Not sponsored. We're not sponsored by
the
anyone. We're not sponsored by anyone. And I don't think we ever will be with our behaviour.
Yeah, so we've done the intro.
We have
socials.
Socials. Social media. Yeah. Follow us on social media.
Please.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You can find us at the Way Back When podcast on Instagram and TikTok.
And maybe Twitter.
And maybe Twitter, if we figured that out.
We're arguing with Elon Musk. So that will get worked out, hopefully, in the future.
Hopefully, by the time you're watching this, our Twitter is working. Mm-hmm. Even so, all of our socials will be linked down below.
Yes.
Where we will post sneak peeks. I mean, you can talk about TikTok if you like, memes.
Mm-hmm. I'm running the TikTok.
I'm running the Instagram.
Yeah, we are... respectively have different areas of interest and different areas of social media expertise. Mine is a lot more memey, a bit silly, and hers is more serious.
It's not serious, it's just
more professional.
Yeah, but you can find us on there. You can also find our own accounts. What's yours?
I am butterfly_pancakes on TikTok.
Yeah, and what do you post?
I post meme videos about history. Mainly, I mean, I do dabble a little bit in Tudors, mainly Mary the First.
Mm.
But my area of expertise is the early Roman Empire and Greek history.
Yeah.
So, like the classical world.
Classical period, yeah. Mine is the History Chatterbox on TikTok.
Yeah.
I haven't posted much. I've had it for a while, but I haven't posted much because I like making quite scripted.
Yeah, with different people.
Info dumping videos, but I've got a few on there about, like, the Tudors. And I also did one about, like, the history of Barbie.
Oh, yeah.
Which was quite fun. Yeah. But, yeah, my sort of... Obviously, I don't study history, like, formally.
Mm-hmm.
But always loved history, adore history.
Yes.
And so my areas of, like, expertise is sort of like early modern period,
yeah,
basically to the present. So yeah, the Tudors, that kind of stuff. I love that, Wars of the Roses, all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then randomly, like, some like early 20th century stuff. Mm-hmm. So like Titanic, yeah, and the suffragettes, and yes, the World Wars. And we're going to be covering a bunch of different stuff in this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, yeah.
Like completely random different things.
We both, it's a lot of women's history, but
yeah,
it delves into different areas. So we, yeah, will do, like, hopefully we'll do some movie
talks. Yeah, we want to talk about, like, some history movies and, like, yeah, do some myth busting.
Yeah.
With films like Gladiator.
Yes.
And the other film girl.
My worst enemy and my
best friend.
Best friends.
Like, yeah, me.
Like us.
Like us, literally.
Yeah. It's like frenemies, but smarter. okay.
Ooh, we can't call out H3. No, I mean, they'll never see it.
They will never see it.
Yeah, we can't call out H3. Absolutely not.
No.
But yeah, so welcome to the podcast.
Yes.
We hope you'll stick around. It's a lot of fun over here. We have some interesting chats. But what are we chatting about today?
So today we are talking about Empress Vibia Sabina, who is the wife of Emperor Hadrian of the Roman Empire.
As in Hadrian's Wall.
As in the big one in England. But yes, she's not as talked about as other empresses and as I would like personally.
I don't think empresses in general are talked about much.
Well, I mean, obviously we're in different history fields, but
the only time I've ever heard anyone talk about empresses is when I've been speaking to you.
Yeah.
Like, I hear about Julius Caesar and Hadrian and stuff.
Not an emperor. No, not an emperor.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want you to get crucified.
Thank you. That's very on brand.
Yeah. Julius Caesar loved a good crucifixion. Okay, anyway. Yeah, so I'll be talking about Vibia Sabina, and I can get right into it.
Yeah, go for it. Who was she? Where's she from? What's her deal?
I do have... So, Empress Vibia Sabina is born in 84 to 86 AD. They're not completely sure.
They never are when it comes to the women.
No, and it's quite far back in terms of history. I have a hard time with the AD because I'm so stuck in, like, BC that, like, I forget it goes up instead of going down. So I might have a bit of trouble with the math, so I apologise. But yeah, so she's born in 84 to 86 AD. For the sake of this, I'm just gonna say 84. Mm. So just to make it easier so I don't have to keep jumping around. But yeah, she's born in 84 AD to Vibius Sabinus and Metidia Salerno.
Oh, so she's named after her dad.
So Roman naming tradition is your daughters will always, mostly always, be the feminine version.
Oh, right. See, I didn't know that.
I mean, there's some exceptions if you're, like, naming them after someone. Like, Sabina gets a niece named after her that isn't named after, like, her. It's not a direct transition of her father's name. But also, she has older sisters, so it's just a way to differentiate between the siblings. Because usually they'll go with, like, Julia 1, Julia 2, Julia 3, and it gets quite confusing. But this family's quite good in terms of their names are all different.
Yeah, because usually it's just, like, I mean, like, looking at, like, English history, it's like, they either name Henry or
Henry
Edwards.
1, Henry 2, yeah, it's the same. So, yeah, she's born to Salonia Matadia and Vibius Sabinus, and it is her mother's second marriage. She has an older sister called Matadia. Her older sister has the same name as her mum, but I will refer to them respectively as Salonia for the mother and Matadia for the older sister. So she's born into her mother's household. Her mother is married, but her father dies, we assume, quite soon after she's born, because her mother is admitted into her uncle's household. Mm-hmm. So her uncle is Trajan. And Trajan...
I like this guy. I like Trajan.
Yeah. Trajan will be the future emperor. Mm-hmm. At this point, Nerva is emperor, I believe. I think so. It might be Nerva's not emperor when she's born, but Nerva is emperor as Sabina is growing up.
Yeah.
I'm not completely sure on the dates of Nerva's reign, so I will fact check that in post, wherever it is. But yes, she's born in quite a good round of emperors. There's this thing called the Five Good Emperors.
Yeah.
So we get this reign called the Nerva Antonine Dynasty, which is Nerva, Trajan, Hadrian, Antoninus Pius, and Marcus Aurelius. So she is born before the reign of Nerva and obviously dies in the reign of Hadrian, who is her future husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's brought up in her uncle's household, and her uncle is an emperor at this point, and she's not raised in her younger years. So I would say up until about probably like 7 or 8, she's raised with just the expectation that she'll just be part of an important senatorial family. So she's probably given quite a good education, but it might not be comparable to, say, the Julio-Claudian women, who were raised with the expectations that they would be either empress or like the wives or the sisters of the empresses, just to make the main guy look good, basically. But Trajan is really good. So I'm going to give a quick rundown of the household of Trajan, because it is a little bit confusing. There's quite a few of them. Not a lot of men. But
Trajan... He's like surrounded by women.
Yeah, he's like the original girl dad.
Oh my God, we
do love Trajan. He's a very positive figure. And I think his reign is positive because he has so many positive female figures around him.
Yeah.
And he does value them.
And he listens to them.
Yeah, thank God.
For one. You said you need to drop an F-bomb.
I knew.
I think I dropped an F-bomb earlier though, so that's why.
But yes, so Trajan's sister is Marciana. I might be saying that wrong. But he's very fond of his sister, mm-hmm. and his sister has a daughter who is Salonia.
Yeah.
And Salonia obviously has Matidia and Sabina.
Okay, I'm following.
So...
You should have made me like a family tree for me to like...
We will put one up.
See. Yeah, we'll have one up, definitely.
But he's also married to Plotina, Pompeia Plotina, mm-hmm. who is his wife and who is very respected, and she is empress during his reign.
Mm-hmm.
Also in his household... not as directly related to him. So his, I believe his grandmother, no, his father slash maybe mother, I'm not sure, is Hadrian's grandfather.
Okay.
So Hadrian and Sabina are related through Hadrian's grandfather and Sabina's great-grandmother, I believe.
Lovely.
They're siblings.
Not Hadrian and Sabina.
No, not Hadrian and Sabina. We're not Julia Barbilla's family.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into later on. But yes,
so the second cousins.
The second, yeah, basically. But Hadrian's parents die when he's 10. And he has an older sister, Paulina. Paulina is about 12 or 13 when her parents die. And they're raised for the next, like, 4 to 5 years in Spain mm-hmm. by their other guardian, who is related to them through the parent, a different parent.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're raised in Spain. It's believed Hadrian was born in Spain.
Yeah.
I'm more inclined to believe he is, just on how his patterns of behavior work in terms of traveling.
Right.
He doesn't seem to really connect with this idea of Roman identity. Mm. As much as the people...
It's never in Rome, is it?
Never in Rome. They spend a lot of time out of Rome. But also more sources. There are more sources saying he's from Italica in Spain than born in Rome. We're not also sure whether Sabina's born in Rome or whether she's born maybe while her mother's visiting campaigns with Trajan.
Yeah.
But people just tend to say Rome because, I mean, we don't know the exact year of her birth as well. So Sabina grows up in a household that's not necessarily looking to be imperial, But Trajan gets named heir by Nerva.
Yeah.
And Nerva's a bit old at this point. They know he's going to die soon. So Trajan knows he's going to become emperor at some point. And he becomes emperor in 98 AD, Trajan.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in the Lower Danube, which is it's near Germany. And they are kind of just like quelling like a rebellion. They're trying to expand territory as Roman.
Do normal favorite pastime by the sound of things.
They love fighting the Danube. But Nerva is in Rome and Nerva dies in Rome. Hadrian is with Nerva when he dies and desperately wants to be the first person that tells Trajan that the emperor is dead. So he basically is racing other Romans to get to Trajan first to tell him he is emperor. And that Nerva is dead. There's a lot of names, so I apologize. But he is successful after people tried to cut the wheels of his car. He might have committed a few murders and crimes along the way.
Oh, lovely, as you do.
Everyone does.
Just the love of Tuesday.
He's successful. And this, in my opinion, I mean, there's a sequence of events that lead up to this in 98 where we really see that Trajan is favouring Hadrian more. So he calls him to Rome when he's like 15. He's like, I'm going to begin your formal education of a Roman. He keeps having a go at him because all Hadrian wants to do is hunt. And he's really un-Roman with it in that he's like talked about that he's like killed animals with his bare hands.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of this
dude.
Yeah, this like
Peter would be on the phone immediately.
Yeah. This anger that Trajan seems to be kind of wary of that is in Hadrian. But anyway, he's favourable of him. When Trajan becomes emperor, Hadrian, 2 years later, in 100 AD, is then married to Sabina.
Yes, she's back.
She's back. So Sabina she's a bit of a mystery for most of her life. So she's very close with her family. We see this imperial family function a lot better than the Julio-Claudians. And I think it's because they're very used to it by this point. There's been about 14 emperors, I believe, prior to Hadrian. So they've kind of seen how things go. Trajan knows how he should treat the women around him. And he generally just has a good relationship with his female family members, which, I mean, is kind of... it's lacking in the emperors prior. So Hadrian gets given all these different things. He's made governor of Panoa. He's given, I think, command of the first legion during another thing in the Danube. There's a Jewish revolt that he helps crush, one of many that will pop up later in his reign that will circle back. But he's married to Sabina, and Sabina is 14 to maybe 16 at the time of their marriage.
Not good.
Not amazing. And obviously Hadrian's like 24, 26, and he's when he entered Trajan's household, Sabina would have been just being born. Or like a toddler in Trajan's household. So she's a child. He's grown up knowing her as the niece of the guy who's raising me. So you probably would have seen her as a child.
Annoying little sister.
Yeah.
Kind of vibes.
Possibly. Which we see not going well for other imperial families. I mean, it's a thing that we see with Tiberius and Julia as well, where they're raised in the same household. And they don't have a favourable marriage. Yeah. But, there's a couple of things that I've always been like, oh, that doesn't really make sense. In the sense that... Hadrian is actually closer in age with Sabina's mother than he is Sabina. And he's quite fond of her. They're quite close, which we'll see in the funeral inscriptions I will talk about later. But also, Sabina isn't the eldest. She's the second daughter of Salonia. And Matadia would have probably been about 16 to 18 years old at this time. And as far as we're aware, she's not married.
Yeah.
So that's... really quite confusing in the sense that why would you not pick the elder daughter to be married? She's closer in age. She's like got just as good imperial blood in the sense that she's related to Trajan just as much as
Sabine. So it might, it must just come down to like the intelligence, the character.
Yeah. I mean,
intelligence is the wrong word, but like the character.
Maybe.
Like who she is.
So Plotina, Trajan's wife, who I mentioned before, is probably the one who arranged the marriage.
Yeah.
Sabina and Hadrian.
Well, because at this point, they're like, they sort of know that Hadrian's the heir.
Yeah.
So they're looking for an empress.
They are looking for an empress. And they're looking close to home, which is smart, because whoever Hadrian marries in the imperial family will be his, like, meal ticket to the throne.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say throne. I know it's not a monarchy, but yeah. So one thing I'm really confused about is Matadia, because she is older and she is given honors, like she's honored throughout her life, so she's clearly well revered. They don't dislike her. It's not like a Claudius situation.
Yeah.
Which I know you don't know about.
I don't know. I have no idea. You I'm learning most of this for the first time.
Yeah. So yeah, Claudius, like, he becomes emperor, but he was disabled while he was alive. People really looked down upon him for this, but he was quite a good emperor. So it isn't, like, really comparable in the sense that there was something wrong with her.
Mm.
It might have just been that maybe she was already engaged to someone. She might have actually already been married. So there is a theory I read in, I think it's one particular article about Matadia, that said, and it is just a theory, there's no real basis for this, but like it's a
bit of a game.
Yeah, allegedly, that maybe when Hadrian becomes emperor, during his purging of people he perceived as threats to his reign, he possibly killed unlawfully Matadia's husband.
Bill.
Yeah, and that's why she's never like contested. It's never written down that she's married or has children, and surely it would have made it to the records, because it does for their other sister.
Well, people got sick
back
then, you know, pretty easily.
Yeah,
he could have just died.
He might have just died. But people do think that maybe,
or like it was really scandalous and he like ran away with a servant girl or something.
I don't know,
they didn't want to talk about it because they were embarrassed, so it was all like,
I feel like someone would have yapped about it. Like, Cassius Dio or Suetonius would have been like, this thing happened, guys. They're like doing that. But yeah. I don't know.
I hate it when it comes, when we're like discussing history and there's just stuff where we do just have to say, maybe. But we'll never know.
We will never know.
We will never know.
Literally never know, unless we find more inscriptions, which is highly unlikely for Hadrian's reign, because all of the inscriptions we do have are like very well like preserved.
Well, it wasn't that long ago when you think about
When
you think about ancient history. It's not even ancient history. Well, is it considered ancient history?
It's like 1,200.
It's not even 1,000 years ago.
Yes, it is. It's 2024.
Oh,
this is 84 AD. She's born in 84 AD. We're not gonna do math. Anyway.
Ignore me.
So, yes. Hadrian's being groomed to be heir. He's married to Sabina. Probably Plotina's idea.
Mm-hmm.
Matadia isn't married. I'm just going to go with the idea that she's not married, because maybe she didn't want to get married. Maybe the circumstances of her father's death or her father's birth, his life, didn't make her eligible or worthy enough to be an empress. It could just be the case that when they were marrying Salonia the first time, they weren't matching her with the idea that her children were going to be part of the imperial like brood, which makes a lot of sense to me. So Sabina and Hadrian are married. There's 10 years between them. We don't have much evidence for their early marriage. It's really
quiet. I mean, she was like a child.
She's like 14 is young.
Yeah.
And they don't have children.
What's like the age most girls got married though back then?
I would say most imperial women, I can only really speak on like the dynastic approach, it would be between like 14 to 18.
That's pretty good when you consider that like early modern period, the Catholic Church were like, yeah, girls can get married at 12, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, there is instances of girls getting married that young, not really in imperial matters.
Well, they need to be as appropriate. So.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, so Hadrian and Sabina marry in 100. Hadrian's then given a series of promotions. It goes a bit quiet for a while. There's a couple of sources that say Trajan and Hadrian fell out.
Yeah.
And there's a handful of reasons that people believe this is for. This is the reason for this. Oh my god, I can't speak. Is that Trajan and Hadrian are both theorized to be gay.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much confirmed that they are. Both of them, respectively, there's a lot of evidence. I mean, neither...
History would say they were besties.
History would say they have besties. But Trajan never has children with his wife. Obviously, that could just be like a biological issue.
Yeah.
But Trajan and his wife get on very well. It seems to be a love match, but it could just be in the sense that they work.
They were besties.
But Hadrian and Sabina doesn't seem to work.
Yeah,
as well,
not as well
as Plotina and Trajan. And maybe Plotina was thinking Sabina was like her.
Sabina had a mind of her own.
Sabina, yeah. People would like to tell you otherwise and say that she's boring and like she's like one of the empresses that like no one really cares about. She is. But I care about her lots. But there is a lot of things in her life that happen that are interesting to me.
Yeah.
So they're married. I've said that like 100 times. In 100, he gets given governor of Panella. He's run the legions, one of the legions. I think it's the first legion. And then in, I believe it's either 112 AD or 114 AD, Trajan makes him governor of Syria. So they go to Syria and it's presumed that he's gone with Sabina. So Sabina's probably with him. I mean, it's like, she doesn't really need to be with Trajan for any reason. Stilonia and Plotina and Matadia and Rupilla. Rupilla is Stilonia's stepdaughter that she marries Libo, Rupilla's husband. Rupilla's father,
such
Libo,
a cool name. Oh my God.
Marries Stilonia quite soon after... Rupert's mother dies, and Rupert's quite young when that happens. So the sisters are all quite close in age. But Hadrian's governor in Syria. It seems to be going quite well. There's no, like, complaints. There's no uprisings while he's there, which, I mean, is all...
Always good.
Yeah, it's all you can hope for. But, yeah, and then in 117, Trajan falls ill, and he has a stroke. While in Turkey, I know, so sad, and he's incapacitated. And at this point, Hadrian is assumed heir, but he hasn't been named.
Yeah,
he hasn't been formally adopted, which is what happens when an emperor wants to name their heir. They will formally adopt them. So Nerva did that to Trajan. It's happened with most of the previous emperors. They will like adopt their heirs. Obviously, unless they get murdered. but yes.
What about the murder? What murder?
So Trajan adopts Hadrian on his deathbed, but for the first time in Trajan's rule as emperor, the letters aren't signed by him.
It's a conspiracy.
They're signed by Plotina. Plotina, who's very fond of Hadrian.
Who's in charge? She knows what she's doing.
She's in charge.
She knows what she's doing.
She also sends letters to the Senate declaring Trajan has died. And she actually puts off telling the Senate until she's told Hadrian that he's the heir. So she's doing a lot of meddling. She's like getting dirty.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. Trajan probably would have named Hadrian his heir anyway. While Trajan was sick, I don't think they thought he was going to die as early as he did. Because he's like, he's young. He's middle-aged. But I do think they weren't expecting him to die that early. especially because I don't think they would have wanted Hadrian to be in Syria and not. You want your heir to be in Rome.
Yeah.
And actually, the strange thing is, Hadrian doesn't go back to Rome as soon as he's named heir.
This guy! Oh my god. He just does not care. He doesn't give a flying F-bomb.
Yeah, he basically takes the best part of like a year to get back to Rome.
That's so real.
Yeah. We don't know if Sabina.
When girls say that they're on their way and they're still doing their makeup. Yes. Real.
We don't know if Sabina is with him or if she's with Trajan at the time of Trajan's death. There's no evidence giving us otherwise. But Sabina is very well travelled. Even at this point, we can assume she's gone with Trajan on a lot of his campaigns because her mother and her sister went on a lot of
campaigns. Yeah, so she'd be there too. While she was married.
I mean, it's really, like, they probably, I know this sounds liberal, but they probably gave her the choice. If Trajan wanted her there, he probably would have just brought her along. He is emperor. I mean,
he says goes,
yeah. Your emperor before your husband, unless your husband is the emperor, which he is after 117.
Yeah.
So up until this point, we don't have much evidence for.
So yeah, they've been married 17 years.
17 years.
Then, heyo, you got a promotion.
Yeah, you're emperor. Well done. He goes back to Rome in 118.
Takes his time.
I'm not sure. I would assume she goes back to Rome first because he goes to the Danube to crush the rebellion, and I believe these people keep revolting. And I mean, it is good to establish your reign with peace.
Yeah.
He never does any triumphs, which emperors like their triumphs.
Yeah, even I know what that is.
Yeah, all good.
Yeah. From all the histories.
Of course. But he does also start his reign off with a little bit of blood. A little bit of blood on his hands. So, 4 people are killed.
Yummy.
In Hadrian's name. Not by Hadrian.
But he ordered it.
He might have ordered it. He refutes his entire reign that he says he did not order the killing of these men. Because these men are extremely high in the rankings of Roman families.
Yeah.
So they've got rankings. They have like plebeians, and then you have equestrian families.
Right.
Horses. And then you have like senatorial families, and then you have patricians, and patricians would kind of be at the top.
Right.
And there's like kind of more subsects in between. But he basically kills like these 4 men, and they're not even like, not all of them are old. Some of them are like young, could very well be emperor. He could have named some of them as his heirs, but he doesn't.
That's why he killed them.
He eliminates them. That's also...
You have been eliminated.
That's why the theory that maybe Matadia's husband was killed by Hadrian.
Yeah.
But when that's, again, just a theory. That could explain why some of the bitterness... No. Some of the bitterness comes from with Sabina. I would be mad if my husband murdered my sister's husband as well. Unless he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I
she cares.
Am of the opinion. No, she loves her sister and she loves her family very much. Particularly like her uncle and stuff. I mean, I'm making some of this up in my head. These are my own illusions.
You're in headcanons. Your Roman Empire headcanons. Roman Empire headcanons. I think everyone has headcanons when it comes to history. Yeah.
It kind of just infects my knowledge.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of want to like not pause because the rest is about the reign. But I do want to reflect on the relationship and, like, how she's been functioning up until this point.
Yeah.
So, she's been raised by her uncle, loves her uncle, a really good, solid family environment.
Which is rare?
It's probably not rare for the whole of Rome, but it is rare up until this point to have a kind of, like, loving, stable, imperial family. I'm of the belief, this kind of ruins the stable imperial family part, that it is so whack to me that Salonia's husbands both immediately die after she has children.
Someone called Brittany because it sounds toxic.
Like, I either they are just dying and it's ill-timed, or someone is getting rid of someone's getting rid of those men.
There's Trajan.
I bet it's Plotina. She's like, we need to keep marrying you to inherit your family.
It's giving Nagum a birth.
It is. Oh, yeah.
Wait, no, they literally are.
Yeah.
Is it like not as evil?
Kind of kind. Kind Lady Macbeth.
And Macbeth.
Yeah. Less king murdering as well.
Yeah, true. Because they are already.
It could be the case that Plotina was so hell bent on Hadrian becoming heir. This is my own theory. This is coming from nowhere. She was so hell bent on having Hadrian become heir that she was like, Solonia's husbands can't be heir.
Yeah.
Because that would be a very real possibility that anyone Salonia was married to would become the heir. I don't think they considered Lebo.
Poor Lebo.
I think
poor guy. I love Lebo.
Lebo and Salonia don't have kids. And she's young enough. She's like, I think she's in her, she must be like early 30s. Because she gets married quite young to her first two husbands.
How old is she when she has
Sabina? Should I do the math? So yeah. Salonia is born in 68 and Sabina is born in 84. So do with that as you will.
68, hang on, let me do the math. So you keep talking, I'll do the math.
So yeah, Salonia is quite young when she had Matadia, and she's probably quite young when
about 16.
Yeah. So that's a normal age for your first child, but it's a second child, so she probably had Matadia
about 14.
About 14.
Yeah.
Which is, usually they get married, usually they don't have kids.
Yeah.
But again, Salonia's age could be wrong because obviously they don't have like concrete documents declaring when she was born and when she dies. So it's usually just an estimation and then historians stick with the estimation.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, she's quite young. And in terms of like looking back on the household Sabina's in, she's got a lot to live up to.
Yeah, there's lots of powerful women.
Yeah, so her grandmother, Marciana, who is Trajan's sister, is named Augusta in 108, I think, by Trajan, which is essentially a living goddess. You
slay.
You are
No pressure.
You're made empress without having the empress title. So there is no emperor and empress title in ancient Rome, but you're given like Pater Patriae and Augusta as titles separately. So her grandmother is made Augusta, and then in 112 AD when she dies, her mother is named Augusta, slash maybe also Plotina. It's unsure.
If I was Plotina, I'd be fuming.
I don't know, because she gets her way a lot. I think she doesn't mind.
She doesn't need the title.
She knows she's good. And she is getting her way. So yeah, Salonia's made Augusta, Salonia slash also maybe Plotina Augusta, and that stays how it is until her mother dies in 119, and then no one is named Augusta for like another 10 years. At which point Sabina is later named Augusta by Hadrian, I believe, while they're in Athens, which is about 128 AD. So she's got a lot to live up to. They've got no children and they're not getting on. Which some really fun quotes come into play. One of the only quotes we have about Sabina is, I would not give the emperor children and went to great lengths to do so, to avoid doing so, as they would ruin the human race. So Sabina probably biologically and physically avoided having children with her husband in maybe a number of ways. Which I won't get into. But because she thought that any children of Hadrian would destroy the earth. which is so amazing. And such, like...
Their kids would have been, like...
evil.
Oh my god. Like,
I know we're not talking about Commodus, but if they had children, it'd be Commodus times two. You haven't seen Gladiator yet, so you don't know what that means.
She needs
to watch Gladiator.
Probably seen it by the time it's put out.
Hopefully. But yes. Yeah, she didn't have children. He doesn't seem bothered by this. This quote might not have been said by her. I feel like it's slightly treasonous to say.
Yeah.
You,
just a little bit.
Have been avoiding having the Emperor's children.
Mm.
But also, he says horrible things about her. Like, he has... There's multiple quotes saying he didn't like her because her moody and irritable personality, and that if he was a private citizen, he would have divorced her years ago.
I think they quite liked each other.
But maybe. Yeah. They love hate each other.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he could have divorced her before... Like, they were married for some... I think if he divorced Sabina when Trajan was alive, that might not have gone down very well. No. It's kind of stuck with her. But, I mean, after he becomes emperor, lots of empresses...
He's in charge, yeah. He can do whatever he
wants.
They
get rid of their wives. They get rid of their wives in a number of ways. I mean, Nero does it very well. But, yeah. Like, I don't know. I think Hadrian just knows that in order to have a stable reign, you need to have a stable empress.
Mm.
And Sabina is a good empress.
Yeah.
But people don't necessarily like her.
I like her.
I love her. She's my favourite. But in terms of, like, we don't really see her being revered in the same way.
Question.
Go on.
Sabina or Julia the Elder?
No, we can't do that. I can't pick. They're two different dynasties. It doesn't count. Anyway, yes. So, their reign. So, Hadrian becomes emperor in 117. He gets these four people killed. The person that conducted the killings is dismissed by Hadrian himself, probably in a public showing of, I don't condone this.
Yeah.
But I mean,
even though it was mine.
Already
yeah.
put his foot in it. Yeah, he
Sneaky.
Already put his foot in it a bit. But yeah. And Hadrian is famous for a couple of things. He's famous for the wall. He's famous for traveling a lot and for being gay. Your husband being gay probably doesn't help the fact that you're married. Literally,
your husband is gay.
And I mean, his lover drowns in the Nile. So, literally.
But literally, that was about them.
That is about Hadrian, Antinous, and Sabina. But yeah, he spends a lot of time traveling. And in 122 AD, he goes to Roman Britannia, which is where he starts building the wall. He's like, I want to make sure that this is great. He's doing something a lot of no other emperors have done. I mean, I would argue maybe like Claudius tried to do it a little bit, but not as well. In that Hadrian is an outlier in that he's like, we have what we have.
Yeah.
Our empire is good, it's stable, it's big enough. We will deal with what we've got, and then later other people can deal with expanding. Yeah.
He wants to build infrastructure. He wants to solidify the foundations of the empire.
He wants to make sure that what he's got functions well, and he does. It's pretty good. It's pretty stable piece.
Hmm.
But in terms of him traveling, costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because he's bringing a lot of people with him.
Bringing the whole family with him. Bringing the whole...
Everyone.
So all the homies.
While he's in Roman Britain, he...
Hashtag romance holiday.
Yeah. He dismisses a couple of people from his court. And either this takes place...
And what, do they have to just make their own way home?
So either they're in Britain or they're in Rome.
Right.
So we don't know. So the people who get dismissed are Suetonius, the imperial librarian, and Septimus Clarus, who is one of his, like, personal praetorian guard. So he'd be working quite closely with him and the empress. For over-familiarity with Sabina and informal conduct. So this could mean a number of things.
Yeah.
This could be a semi-public affair that she's maybe had with Suetonius.
She's been shagging them.
She's been shagging the librarian.
Fair play.
I'm more under the belief of if she's gonna have had an affair with either of the two, it's probably the Praetorian Guard, because the Praetorian Guard are famous for not doing their job.
Yeah.
Not, like, conducting themselves how they're supposed to. But Septimus Harris is talked about in other sources, which is actually quite rare, in the sense that I think it's Pliny, another author, talks about him being really loyal and really kind and, like, a really, like, basically just a stand-up guy that Romans should...
Or is it just, like, a cover-up?
Aimed to be. No, I don't, like, because it's in his personal letters
right.
that get published later, so he's writing to someone else. He doesn't really have a reason to lie to this person. He could have...
Yeah.
And, I mean, Clarice isn't seeing these letters, so they're not for Clarice's eyes. And he also writes that Clarice refused to go to basically patrician / imperial parties after a certain point. That it was something along the lines of he was too nervous to go, or he didn't like the vibe, basically.
The vibes were off.
The vibes were off in the imperial parties, guys. But I think, now this is, I'm like... drawing lines where lines maybe should not be drawn.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if he had an affair with the Empress would be responsible, especially if she's in Rome and Hadrian isn't there, for entertaining senators and senators' wives.
Mm.
And the Praetorian Guard probably would have been invited to this, even after they're dismissed. I mean, if she had an affair with them, it's really quite surprising that they don't get exiled.
Yeah.
They're not dismissed from Rome, they're just dismissed from the Palatine Hill. And he doesn't disgrace them, and that's all we know. So Suetonius goes on to be further employed, he goes on to write more works. He's the author of The 12 Caesars, which is a very famous book from Julius Caesar down to, I believe, Vitellius. That might be wrong. But yeah.
So he was allowed back on AO3 to write.
Yes.
Write
he was not banned from Twitter completely. Suetonius is a gossip, and I can see him being overly formal with the Empress. But the quote ends with, "and many others got dismissed."
Right, yeah.
So it could just be Hadrian doesn't like her having friends, or people maybe aren't too fond of, they're either slagging off her, or they're maybe slagging off Hadrian, and she's reporting back to him, and he's just dismissing people. This could also be happening in Britain. And maybe they're being overly confident in their roles because they're getting to travel with the royal barge and stuff. So, yeah. He travels a lot. He goes to Turkey, goes to Carthage, and they go to Athens. He meets Antinous in Turkey. We believe Antinous was around the age of 14. And I think it's in like 127, 128 when he meets Antinous, and Hadrian is
in his 50s.
Yeah. He's old. But Antinous is his favourite. He actually sends Antinous to Rome, we think, for some time to get a formal Roman education, because there's some it's disputed whether Antinous is a slave.
Right.
Or he's just a boy in a local town, or someone that worked for him that Hadrian saw, and he was weird, like, I want that one. We have no sources saying Sabina was upset by this. It's quite common at the time.
Yeah.
Empresses usually don't care about their husbands taking male lovers. It's when they start taking female lovers and disrespecting their station that it becomes a problem. But at the same time, Roman empresses are very... disposable. Which
again, so exile them.
Yeah, exile or execute them. Hadrian doesn't do, like, if you don't like her as much as you say and you find her so moody and irritating, just divorce her. Let her be free.
Divorce, babe. Divorce.
Yeah, so they haven't got divorced, is what I was saying. And he isn't exiling anyone and he isn't executing anyone.
It's a bit boring, isn't it?
Yeah, and so, he is a bit.
Yeah.
That's probably why he's so grumpy. He's like, I'm not interesting. But anyway, he's going on these travels.
I'm getting rid of a weird joke, but I can't say it.
Okay. he's not in Rome for most of his reign. Sabina is the most travelled empress.
Yeah.
And Hadrian.
Can I make the joke and we'll bleep it out?
Yeah.
God. okay, that was cut.
So But yeah, he's traveling. And he meets Antonius when he's in Turkey, and then Antonius is given possibly the Roman education.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to Athens.
So yeah, our favourite character.
Our favourite girlie after Sabina comes in, which is Julia Balbilla.
Singing Good Luck, Babe.
Yes.
Like Chaperone.
Like Chaperone. She is the original Chaperone.
No, literally. Oh my god, literally.
So Julia Balbilla is a princess of a puppet state of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially, it used to be a kingdom, but it was disbanded under Vespasian, which is a previous emperor.
Yeah.
Which you don't have to know about.
Okay.
Yeah. But they're still kind of given the respect and the title.
Yeah. So it's like, if you don't complain about us not letting you have your kingdom, you can still be called princess.
Yeah. And you can have a lot of money. She is as very rich. Unusually rich for a woman. I would say she's on par with Sabina and Matadia.
Yeah.
In her own right. And she is the last direct descendant of her kingdom. Because her older brother dies before her. And her brother is actually given the title king, which Hadrian lets him keep. Well, he dies in 116, so Trajan lets him keep the title king. But her older brother, Philopappos, which means...
What a name.
Yeah, it means lover of grandfather. But, like, I love my grandfather. That's what it means.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. He's also very rich. He has a big house, and Hadrian visits the house. They also might have had an affair. We don't know. There's no evidence. But he visited Athens quite a few times with Sabina while he was married. This is before he becomes emperor, by the way. Anyway, back to the current timeline. Yeah,
but they do go to Athens after coming.
They go to Athens. They complete the Eleusinian Mysteries, which is a big festival in Athens where you basically, you do this big walk and you go into this temple and then something happens. We don't know what happens. It's a secret. It's a big secret.
It's an orgy.
Maybe. It's probably something to do with Demeter and Persephone and life and death.
Right.
I think. Because a lot of the votive offerings and like sacrifices in the offering pits near Eleusis are to do with Demeter and Persephone. So it's probably something to do with like the secret to life and death.
Okay.
Which is where this like... Hadrian does the Eleusinian Mysteries twice. So it's where this like...
Triad.
Yeah. It's where this idea of Hadrian being obsessed with immortality comes from. Which I will come back to. And I don't think he is because of how he dies.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah. So when he's in Athens, him and Sabina are given honorary Athenian titles. Mm. I'm almost 100% sure Athens is part of the Roman Empire at this point.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it is.
Must be, surely.
It is. Yeah. And... But they are still given honorary Athenian citizenship, which, if you know anything about ancient Athens or Athens in general, is hard to get. They're a bit strict with who they let in, especially because Hadrian is technically Spanish, not even Roman.
Mm.
So it's difficult. But yeah. So they meet Julia Balbilla there, presumably comes on the rest of their travels with them from their first trip to Athens. They go to Egypt. There's a bunch of inscriptions in Egypt. And when they are in Egypt in 130 AD, someone drowns in the Nile.
Oopsies. The Nile is a river in Egypt. Your husband is gay.
And the twink drowns.
Yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Antonius. You would have loved Child Lion. That's a bad joke. But yeah, he does drown in the Nile.
You would have loved Child Lion.
Yeah, he gets either pushed, he either throws himself in there, he either falls in. I'm more of the belief he probably fell in, they were probably drunk.
Yeah.
Or maybe someone did push him in. But people think Sabina pushed him in. I really don't think she cares enough. Also, if Antinous made Hadrian happy, why would she want to make him unhappy? Because then
she can do her own thing.
He stays away from her.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he would go near her anyway. But it's okay. Yeah, they're not having a good time. He drowns. Hadrian is distraught. It's said that he keeps the body with him for a couple of nights after they find it in the Nile. And then he's mummified in Egypt, which is common practice in Egypt.
Yeah.
Obviously. But he also names a city after him where he drowns, which is Antinoopolis.
Is that still a place?
It's still like a physical place. I don't think it's called Antinoopolis anymore. Which is such a cool name. I believe it was called Claudiopolis.
It's okay. We'll honor him. We'll make a Minecraft world and we'll name it that.
Antinoopolis.
Yeah.
But yeah, he drowns. But the barge continues. They carry on traveling.
They're like, oh, well, let's keep going.
Yeah, Hadrian mourns. He doesn't mourn for a while. I mean, he deifies him as soon as he dies.
Mm.
A star is seen in the sky after he dies, and they believe it's Antinous. So he's nicknamed like Antinous the Star.
Oh, yes.
And actually, there's a really, really popular hero cult, which is kind of like lacking at this point in history with Rome. It's really popular in Greece, where he basically gets turned into a god and a hero, and people worship him like he's a god.
Hmm.
And it becomes really popular to the point where Christianity tries to erase it because they're like, we can't have this twink competing with us.
Jesus.
It's high up there in competing with early Christianity.
Jesus.
Like, specifically the cult of Antinous. I think it's just this, like, tragic, like, martyrdom narrative that we see. But anyway, they go to Thebes, and Julia Balbilla is brought along as this sort of tour guide because her maternal grandfather was the governor of Egypt under one of the emperors. I'm not entirely sure which one. But her family actually has a lot of ties with the early imperial family. Like, one of her grandfathers, one of her great-grandfathers was really close with Emperor Tiberius.
Yeah.
He was, like, Tiberius's Antinous,
basically.
But he doesn't count. And, like, she's got a lot of imperial links. Her family on her father's side is the most incestuous thing I have ever seen. Grandparents are first siblings, her great-grandparents first siblings, and her great-great-grandparents first siblings. Yeah, I didn't think I told you that.
No. That's just a line.
It's a line. It made it so easy for me to learn. Yes, but that's, people think that maybe she was married to her brother. I dispute this, because why would she be married to her brother in Athens? There is no need. I don't think it's not legal in Athens. Whereas it was legal in the Turkish kingdom they were rulers of. The Turkish puppet kingdoms love doing that, by the way. I'll probably talk about Artemisia of Caria in a different episode. But she's married to her brother.
Ew.
And yeah.
Ew.
It's a thing. It's a Turkish kingdom thing.
Ew.
Yeah. But anyway, Julia Balbilla's brought along. She's really smart. She's really rich. She's given an education befitting a princess. She is a princess. She refers to herself as a princess. And she is... Hadrian refers to her as the second Sappho. He basically wants to recreate this, to him, golden age of Greece. He has her come along, and they go to this statue. The statue of Memnon. Which is actually statues of a sphinx, but Greeks and Romans attributed it to their own mythology rather than Egyptian mythology. And this statue sings, which I don't know how the statue sings. It's something to do with the aerodynamics of the statue.
Seems bonkers, where does your
answer? Yeah, some people think it just, when the sun rises, it's supposed to, like, something to do with the acoustic and the stone heating up. Makes a noise. I don't know if it whistles. I don't know if it hums.
Who knows?
I don't know if it plays bonkers.
Where does your ass go?
It might play Chapel Roan.
I think it probably plays Chapel Roan. It probably says plays like the bridge to Good Luck With.
Yeah, Sabina turns up and it sings.
Spoilers.
Basically,
she just spoiled 5 minutes. What's gonna be like explained in 3 minutes?
Yeah. So they go to the statue 5 times because Hadrian really wants to hear it sing. He's heard of it. It's supposed to be good luck. They go twice, and it doesn't sing for Hadrian. He gives up. He's like, I have other important things to do. I can't be bothered.
I'm gonna mourn my twink.
Yeah, I'm gonna go cry about my boyfriend. Sabina, you and your girlfriend can go do the statue thing, which they do 3 more times, They go back in the morning because it only works at sunrise, so they're going quite early. Mm. And Julia inscribes 5 verses of poetry on the left lower leg of Memnon. it's quite hefty. Yeah. I mean, saying 5 verses of poetry is easy, but like when you're writing it, it's one thing.
Inscribing it,
and you can still see it. So she proper went at it.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult. She might have not done it herself. It might have been someone else. She might have been relaying it, and someone else inscribed it.
Yeah.
But I mean, she still came up with the poetry. The poetry is basically just like Hadrian and Sabina. They came to the statue to hear it sing. It didn't sing. And then she yaps about her family for a verse or two. And then she's got like 2 whole verses on how amazing Sabina is. And how I just came here with Sabina and she's really hot, guys.
Guys. Check out my girl.
Check out my girlfriend who's married to the emperor. But yeah, she does. She writes in archaic form, which is the form that Sappho used. It's specifically the style that Sappho used, which I'm under the belief she's doing it because she wants to be a second Sappho, and also because she's trying to relay that there's a lesbian thing that's going on. Because she describes Sabina's, she says, liked the body, liked the lovely form of our empress, Sabina. And lovely form is the erotic sense. So it's she's describing the empress sexually.
Damn, getting freaky.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It's literally like writing Wattpad fanfiction.
On a statue.
Yeah.
Which also, it's like the original graffiti.
Yeah.
It's like, my girlfriend is hot. but yeah, the statue sings for Sabina and Julia. It probably, I think it sings 2 or 3 times. It's not quite clear in the poetry. Mm. They don't know if they went 4 times or 5 times, but Hadrian actually comes back on the last day because he's like mad that Sabina has heard it sing.
Yeah,
and he's like, I want to hear it sing, and he apparently does.
Stomps his foot.
Yeah, but actually, the statue of Memnon is, I think, attributed to about like 30-40% of all known women writers in the ancient history, because Sabina's one of them. She writes like a little 3-line thing saying, "I, wife of Hadrian, empress." Yeah. Rome heard the statue sing. It's like really, and it's next to Julia's, and it's really sweet when you see it because it's like she's got 3 lines, and then Julia's like yapped,
yeah,
like 5 verses in like ancient Greek. And I think it's really sweet because like Sabina's like she's trying, and she's actually inscribed it, which I think is rare. Like we don't have inscriptions from empresses previously.
Yeah.
So yeah, that happens. They travel around for a bit more. They go back to Athens. Presumably, Julia stays in Athens. We have no record for her after 1:30, so we don't know when she dies, we don't know what happens to her. She might go back to Rome, but she's like around Hadrian's age, maybe a bit younger. She's like 10 years older than Sabina. Sabina has a type. So Suetonius is 50 when she maybe has the affair with him, going back to that, and she's like 38. So God is like, dang. Busy with older people. I'm not sure of Septimus Clarus' age, but that's going back in time. Anyway, so Sabina goes back to Rome between 132 and 133 AD, and she never travels again.
Mm.
Hadrian goes straight from his imperial travels to a Jewish rebellion in Judea, where 600,000 Jewish people are killed. As the result of the revolt, it's Hadrian's first proper war as emperor. He doesn't want to fight the revolt. He has to. It kind of gets to the point where, like, either we lose Judea or we fight this war. And he goes personally. He brings all of his governors from Britain to fight it. And some of these I would say the governor of Britannia is the reason so many Jewish people are killed.
Yeah.
He's brutal.
Jesus Christ.
Like, he's the guy who's tasked with keeping the barbarians out.
Mm.
So, I mean, he's slightly evil. Yeah. But Hadrian comes back to Rome. Hadrian's been quite, in like 1-4, he also never leaves Rome again for about 3 or 4 years. He's quite sick at this point. He's been quite sick. since about before Antinous's death, 2 years before Antinous's death, so that's like around 128. He's older, he's been traveling a lot. You can imagine, like, these traveling, it's not, you're not hopping on an airplane. It's like, it's hard. Around the time that he's getting quite bad, Sabina's also getting sick. There's a lot of theories of how she died, and this happens with everyone. They don't really know how they died. It's like, was it suicide? Was it poison? Was it normal illness? And people like to gossip. The first source that I read said that she killed herself out of despair because she was living in quarters befitting a slave. But that doesn't make sense to me because she probably died in the villa in Tivoli, which is like an hour outside of Rome, which is Hadrian's like masterpiece. And she, her quarters are there and she dies before her quarters are finished and they don't get finished. So we assume she died in that villa. I think if she was, if she died in the Palatine Hill, we would know about it because there would have been more people around to write about it. So she dies. Hadrian has been preparing the public for her death for about 6 months prior, which is where a lot of the accusations of the poisoning comes from. He's like preempting that she's going to die, which I didn't think is like accurate at all.
No,
she's probably just been sick for a while and you know she's gonna die, and it's just like customary to like commemorate your empress. She's also Augusta, so you're commemorating a living goddess. And she's named Augusta when they're in Athens, and he is Pater Patri at this point as well, so they're both the highest titles you can get for a woman and a man in Rome. But yeah, she dies. She's not immediately buried in the mausoleum. She's probably buried with her mother, or they probably just keep her urn with her mother in Trajan and Plotina, which I believe is just outside of Rome. It might be in Baiae, I'm not completely sure. It's always hard to find the exact locations of where people are kept. But so Hadrian dies. It's either 10 months or like a year and a half after she dies. Depending on what date you pick for her date of death, I'm not completely sure when she died. But he had a hard time when he was dying. And this is where I get the feeling that the immortality thing is completely wrong, because for the last like 5 months before he died, he's begging people to kill him. He's in a lot of pain. He probably has coronary heart disease. It's probably the traveling and the eating.
None of them were particularly healthy back then.
But he has, there's lines on the statues of Hadrian's later depictions that suggest heart disease, which I don't know the specifics of because I'm not a scientist. I'm sure there's science behind it and I trust people who told me. He dies. He's begging people to kill him. At this point, he's named two heirs. So he named Lucius Aelius, I believe, who is actually related to Rupilla through marriage, I think. But that doesn't work out because he dies of tuberculosis a year before Hadrian. I don't know why Hadrian chose the guy with tuberculosis to be his heir. I think maybe he was hoping he was going to die before him and not have to deal with it. But Lucius dies before he gets to become emperor, and Hadrian has to pick someone else. He picks Antoninus Pius, who is married to Faustina the Elder, who is also related to Rupilla through marriage. And actually, the first Lucius, his son, does actually become emperor, co-emperor with Marcus Aurelius, which is later. But Hadrian chooses Antoninus Pius with the condition, I'm choosing you not because you're great, but because your son-in-law is fantastic, but your son-in-law is too young. To be emperor. I think he's like 13, 14 at this point. He's not like a proper man yet. It's too dangerous to have someone that young. Last time they did that with Nero, it did not go well. And we'll see with Elagabalus, or however, Elagabalus, or however you say his name, that that does also not go well in the future. But yeah, he dies in Baiae, which is in Naples, mm-hmm. I believe, Napoli. And he is not immediately deified after his death, but Sabina is. The Senate refused to deify Hadrian a little bit after he died. I think they're a little bit mad about the killing of the four people about 38 years ago.
Still, oh, get over it.
Yeah, and they're also mad that they spent a lot of money funding his basically like
holidays
for the last however like 22 years.
Jesus.
But yeah, they do immediately deify Sabina, and I think that's probably more out of honoring her as the niece of Trajan rather than the wife of Hadrian.
Mm.
But yeah, she's deified, which most empresses are. Hadrian's deified a little bit after his death.
Mm-hmm.
They are buried in the same urn. why did they do that? I don't know. Antoninus Pius actually does it. He's like, my parents, I think the inscription's still there in the mausoleum of Hadrian, which you can go see today, is...
Which we're probably going to see.
Which we are going to be going to see it in the spring.
Mm.
But, Antoninus Pius is like, here lies my parents together, united in death. And there's a really sweet... There's a really sweet, really depressing commemoration of Hadrian after his death that's really quite, dull.
Mm.
But it doesn't feel like the commemoration of a good emperor. It feels like the commemoration of a man who really suffered towards the end of his life.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact quotation, so we will put it somewhere. But yeah, it was really sad. And I don't know. But they are buried together, unfortunately. Don't know why they did that to them. They didn't want to be together in life. I don't know why they put them together in death.
Yeah.
But also, Antoninus Pius referring to Sabina as his mother raises the questions of what year she died in. Because was she around for his adoption? They think that she was probably definitely around for the adoption of Lucius.
Hmm.
Lucius Aelius. But she probably died before Antoninus became.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's it.
Damn, it's quite the story.
A lot. But yeah. I don't know, there's not that much to say, and I've somehow spoken a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of preempting, I think, you need to know.
Yeah, there's a lot of you need to know the lore,
mm-hmm.
you know, behind the lore. I think they quite liked each other. I get that impression from everything you said, they quite like, because why would they stay together so long, especially mm-hmm. before he was emperor?
I think, yeah. Well, I mean,
and then afterwards.
Trajan.
Yeah.
But I think he could have easily divorced her.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would have been that big of a deal. But also, it would have just been another nail in the coffin.
The waltz.
That senators would just be like, you are getting rid of this really important senator.
Yeah.
I think the Senate and him probably understood that there needed to be a lot of influence from Trajan's reign. Because Trajan's reign was so positive that it would be nice to keep it around.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Sabina is very revered in the future. Like, Marcus Aurelius, Antoninus's heir, names his daughter after her, Sabina Aurelia, which doesn't follow Roman naming patterns. So he must have liked her a little bit. He would have been quite young when she died. Mm. But he's really close with her sister, Matidia.
Yeah. Who outlives them all.
She is so cool. She outlives them all. She has so much money. She funds so many cities. There's still a city in the south of Italy named after her today for her charity work. She has like this kind of half scandalous statue of herself put up in one of the theatres in Rome after Hadrian and Sabina die. So she's like quite old at this point. So she's she's living a good life. And she puts up a lot of statues of her mother and Sabina after their deaths, which is really sweet because it's just like a little female household of Trajan that I love that's so like somehow positive in the shithole that is Rome.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It feels like it feels like a male heavy story when you talk about it from the perspective of Hadrian and Antoninus. And I do think that all of these women really get overshadowed with this kind of like queer representation of Hadrian, which I don't think is overall very positive in itself because of how young Antoninus is and because of the power dynamic. There's a lot of conversation surrounding this that I think varies depending on who you talk to. But I mean, it's an interesting thing to talk about, but it wouldn't have been as interesting to them as it would have been us.
Yeah.
It's just like normal. It's like, oh, the emperor has a boyfriend. Wow. I think his death is probably what solidifies him in history compared to other historical figures.
Yeah. Damn, it's been a good one. Mm-hmm. It's a good first episode, I have to say. We're kicking it off with like a bang.
Yeah, there's not a lot of information about her. I don't know how I've managed to talk for almost an hour and a half about this. But yeah, the books that I read about this are Corey Brennan's Sabina Augusta, literally my Bible. He is a god to me. He's also really funny on Twitter. But yeah, his book is really good. It's the only complete biography of Sabina, book biography of Sabina. I bought it on Kindle. It's very good.
I love it very much.
We'll leave links to like all of these in case you want to do like further reading about these topics.
Yeah. And
these people even.
For the contemporary sources, Cassius Dio and the Historia Augusta, I will put the exact passages in wherever we put the reading list. But I don't know. I think I've said everything.
Amazing. Well, that was super interesting. I definitely learned a lot.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
I've been talking about this for so long that, like, you know everything already.
I know quite a few things. Mm-hmm. Do you want to say what you're working on?
Yeah. So I'm writing a historical fiction book about Sabina.
Oh my God. Amazing.
That really focuses, it's at the forefront, it's probably more about her relationship with Hadrian. But on the back burner, it's quite sweet with her relationship with her family.
Yeah.
I really wanted to focus on the female relationships in Trajan's household because
so many dynamics.
It is really endearing to me. And also the Suffolk relationship between Julia Balbilla and Sabina. I'm of the belief that there is something there.
Oh, gay as hell.
Even if it's one sided from Julia's point of view, she thought the Empress was hot. Really hot. So much so that she inscribed it in a statue. That does not just say just besties to me, I feel.
Oh, yeah, no.
No. But yeah, it definitely focuses a lot on Hadrian and Sabina as well.
Mm.
Probably more positively than other works.
Yeah.
Might.
Yeah.
But yeah, I posted a lot about it on TikTok.
Yeah, so yeah. I'll say again, as we have reached the end, if you've made it this far, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
We'll be back next Wednesday with my episode.
Yes, which we did film today as well, hence why the background and our clothes will be the same.
Yeah, it's about Anne Boleyn,
yes.
Obviously. So another very interesting woman from history.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and that will be the last time we are
together
in person where we can actually like touch.
Yeah.
Because soon I'm going to be
up north. Yeah,
I'll be away.
I'll be at uni as well, just not up north.
Yeah. So we'll be two boxes looking at each other on screen.
Two really pretty boxes.
But thank you so much for listening, especially if you made it this far. We really appreciate it. If you want to show your support, drop a like, subscribe.
Smash that like button.
Follow us if you're listening on like Spotify. Mm-hmm. And leave a comment down below if you have like any suggestions, any ideas, what your thoughts are, your opinions.
I would really love some Roman and Greek women suggestions.
Oh yeah.
I'm not lacking in information, but I am lacking in specific information.
Yeah.
So
follow us on TikTok, Instagram, hopefully Twitter.
We'll get that sorted out.
We'll get that fixed.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon. Hopefully tonight I might have another go at it.
I've been trying as well.
But yeah. Also, Happy New Year. It is the 1st of January. It's weird because like...
It's like the 22nd of December.
Yeah, but for them it is the 1st of January.
Oh my God, it's a different year.
Happy New Year.
Wow.
Yeah, 2025.
Dag.
You're going to be 20.
Next year.
Yeah.
In the summer. Long time away.
thank you so much for listening. Yeah. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you in the next one.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye.